Hey everybody, welcome to Unmanned. I'm your host, Chris Kelso, and today's show we're going to be doing a topic about getting out of the military and that transition period, talking about TAPS, and going to be talking about how scary it can be when you get out and you don't have anything lined up, and what you can do to position yourself better for getting into the civilian private sector. And my guest today is Sean Wigman, who was an Air Force sensor operator from 2005 to 2009. And he's going to be giving us a little bit of that insight that we're looking for that I think the audience will really appreciate today. Okay, so with that, let's get started. Okay, so Sean, welcome to the show.
Hey, what's going on, man? Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no problems, dude. It's been a long time. So I talked to the audience here in the intro about kind of what this episode's about, and I thought you'd be a perfect candidate for this because you got out back when things were kind of small and pretty tight-knit, and you transitioned and went to a bunch of different things. So I wanted to give the audience a chance to listen to your side of things and how that was different or maybe the same as what they're going through right now.
Sure.
So how long were you in the military for, and about how many hours did you kind of accumulate as a sensor operator?
So I joined the Air Force in 2005, and I got out in 2009, and I accumulated 1,200-ish hours, but both between like operational flight hours and instruction, and then some LRE as well.
Okay. And so it's just your first term enlistment there for 4 years?
Yeah, I just did the 4 years. They tried to get you to do the six so you can put on like A1C early, but I was like, nah, fam.
And did you enjoy doing the job during those years?
I think so for the most part. I probably enjoyed doing it operationally a little more than I did instructing. I don't know if that necessarily pertained more to the job or if it was just like drive. I didn't enjoy the drive to Creech. I didn't really enjoy Creech that much at all, to be honest, because it was at the time when we were there, it was so out in the middle of nowhere. It was so barren. Wasn't really a whole lot to do out there. So, but I mean, overall, I mean, I definitely look on it as a, you know, fondly. It was a good experience.
Okay. How long did you instruct for? Because I think you were an instructor when I went through.
I think I started instructing probably mid-2007. I got back from Balad and then Sergeant Nobles. That was right around the time that the 15th was breaking up, and Sergeant Nobles pulled me from the 15th to the 11th with I think I was right after Day and Holly came to the 11th as well.
Yeah, I think I graduated the FTU right before you got there then. So maybe you didn't teach me, but I know you were there when I became a contractor. You know, you talked about how you enjoyed the combat side for the most part. I know there's been some negative media about sensors on Netflix and some other stuff I'm not going to get into, but what I think we both know what that's about.
Sure.
Well, what did you not like about the job?
Honestly, the worst part for me is I had a very hard time, like, on those days where you're just sitting in the seat for like 4 or 5 hours. That was the absolute worst for me. I just like, oh man, sometimes it was just so boring. And if you had a pilot that didn't want to talk a whole lot and just wanted to sit there and do his own thing, there were some days I wanted to gouge my own eyes out, you know?
Yeah. Do you think it was more because the target was boring, or do you think it was just because it was night shift and you had a crappy pilot next to you?
probably a little bit of both. You know, there were definitely boring targets where you look at the same thing and you're just circling around it for however long. And sometimes you get a really good crew though. I mean, you can make that time fly by. Like, I definitely had pilots I preferred working with over others, but I mean,
yeah, it was hit or miss. They got rid of Mix.
They got rid of what?
They got rid of the MCs.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They're no longer a crew position there. So now it's just two people on headset instead of three. And I got to be honest, the Mix were some of the most entertaining people I'd worked with.
True.
So,
So you have the one that's like heavy breathing with the microphone.
what
What are you guys doing after shift?
Yeah, so they got rid of them. So, now we have to do all the work, but
Kidding.
so
All right.
and try to keep names out of this one. But what's the most embarrassing thing you ever saw in a GCS?
It wasn't my most embarrassing moment, but I'm sure it was embarrassing for the other person. The individual, he opens up his coffee canister, right? And he spills a little bit on himself. And then his coffee had gotten cold, and he's like, "Oh, son of a bitch. That just pisses me off." And I'm laughing. Laughing. But it's like we're laughing and he's getting madder about it, so we're trying to stifle our laughter. It sucked for him. I thought it was hilarious, though.
Yeah, I've heard some pretty bad stories. I hopefully I can accumulate all these stories and write a book or something, because
Yeah, maybe.
definitely a little comedy book. Maybe it could be a picture book or a pop-up book.
It could be a pop-up. That'd be cool. I'd buy that.
I'm sure in 4 years, how many hours did you rack up?
It was about 1,200
1,200.
over the course of 4 years.
Yeah, what you got any good, I mean, what's your best story? What's like your most memorable?
My
Could
most.
just be a good time in there.
Actually, so my second deployment, I think this was right before you got there, because you were there at the second deployment, right? Or was that the first one?
No, I was with you on the second tour, all right.
So I'm kipped up in the office chair and I've got headphones in. I think I'm listening to like Cradle of Filth or something like that, but I've got it up loud, so I'm 100% unaware of what's going on around me. And I knew that we were having some DVs come by, but they were due in like another 45 minutes. They were early. So I'm sitting there, I'm leaned back, I've kind of got my foot propped up. And the pilot I was deployed with, he's like, "Hey, Wiggs." And I'm like, I kind of like turn around and like, "Sup?" I'm like looking over my shoulder at a full bird. Dude, I don't think I ever jumped out of a chair that fast. It was pretty funny. Did I salute? No, I mean we're inside.
I know, but it would have been better if you rendered the salute
Like,
like an
that would be amazing. No, but I like jumped up. I think I knocked something over. It was, they probably thought I was a goob. But yeah,
Cool.
it's pretty, it was pretty
I'm lucky I didn't have anything like that happen to me. I did see a guy salute somebody with the left hand once because he got caught off guard, but that was a good one.
Who, me?
No, someone. I don't. It was a
Oh,
random, like
okay.
somebody leaving the shop ad or the BX or something.
That'll happen. There's a video of somebody getting an award or something that salutes with the left hand. Yeah.
Go down in history. There's a call sign right there.
Oh,
So what ultimately led you to separate from the Air Force at the time?
well, I think originally I'd only ever really planned on doing 4 years. And I was kind of in like a weird spot anyway, like with some like personal life stuff. So I was kind of like, well, I just need a change of scenery. So I'm just gonna get out. At the time, that seemed like a fantastic idea. We'll get to why it wasn't.
You couldn't go anywhere else, if I remember. I mean, they were pulling people back from Korea and stuff. I mean, it was like a job lockdown, if I remember.
Yeah, so I mean, had I re-enlisted for like another 4 years, I'd have been stuck at Creech for another 4 years. And I really wanted to get away from Creech. That was like the big motivation for getting out. And realistically, like, I don't, maybe Creech wasn't that bad, but I was just like, I was over it at the time, you know?
Just being out in the desert with nothing.
Yep, basically.
So if you could go back, would you have still made that decision?
I probably still would have made that decision, but I would have made that decision a little better, if that makes sense. I think I would have done things a little differently, instead of waiting until like the month before I go on terminal leave to try to start getting my stuff together.
All right, so if you had to go back and do it differently, what do you think you would have done to make that transition or that separation better?
I think the one thing I could have done just to really help myself out was start planning for it a little sooner. So I don't know if there's like a magic number, but I think looking for a job can kind of be a job in and of itself. There's a lot of moving parts. I would just give myself more time. I would maybe started looking maybe in the spring. Like, I don't know, at the very least getting my resume put together, not just waiting until like November to do it when I got out in December.
Yeah, I'm telling my guys right now and girls, about 3 months out is when I start pushing them to other companies and start trying to get them kind of marketing them.
Right.
So people should probably get their stuff together maybe even a month or two before that.
Yeah, definitely.
Give yourself a little bit of room because timing is everything when it comes to getting jobs on the outside, and sometimes you don't want to push that. So, I'm just going to go ahead and assume because I think we all did it, but did you go through TAPS?
Yeah. I went through taps.
See, just by me asking that question, I don't even remember TAPS. I think I remember sitting at a desk and someone just PowerPointing me to death, and that just sucked. So, if you had to give me kind of your memory of TAPS, because my memory sucks anyway, but what do you remember from it? Did it help you at all?
I honestly, I don't remember a whole lot about TAPS because for the most part, it was pretty unremarkable. Like, it gave you some resume advice, but I already had a resume. I already had a format set up at this point because TAPS was like, I think 2 weeks before I separated for terminal. If memory serves me correctly, I had it
Yeah,
like, I had TAPS, and then like 2 weeks later, I was gone.
not a lot of time to get ready for the private sector there, that's for sure.
No, it was not a lot of time at all. Actually, are we allowed to use names now? Somebody that's helped me out.
Somebody help you, that's fine. We'll leave it at that.
Yeah, so Felicia helped me out with my resume quite a bit.
Same here.
Yeah. So yeah, that was more helpful than taps probably. So
Yeah, I think if I remember correctly, she just gave me her resume and then I just changed my name and dates and hours and stuff. So,
that's exactly what I did.
so we must have all looked the same on paper.
Yeah, thanks, Felicia.
Yeah. Bye, Felicia. So,
Bye.
excuse me. So, do you think that now I know TAPS is very general. It was for anybody and everybody getting out. So they kept it extremely vague and broad and basic. Do you think that UAS operators or air crew should have a program to help them transition? Something more, because we're such a specialty career field.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. We're very special in the sense that there's not a whole lot of options for us when we get out. Like, there's a lot of companies that hire us, but maybe something that the unit could put together as kind of like a guide to where like to what companies are currently hiring. I doubt they would do that for the simple basis that they're not trying to lose people. But yeah, I mean, I think that would definitely be helpful because you may not necessarily know what companies are in the industry right now on the in the private sector.
And I completely agree with you, but here's my opinion on that. I don't think that you're ever going to see the units do that because it's in their best interest for you not to get out.
Yeah, you're exactly right.
So they're not going to help people do that, I don't think. I think they're going to try to do to retain people as much as possible. And at least in my experience, when I made that decision that I was separating, I was kind of like kicked to the door, like screw you, you don't care about the mission anymore, your country or whatever. I mean, I got a lot of heat for that decision.
Did you
So
really?
I don't really, yeah, I did. And I don't see that. I don't see, I mean, maybe there's somebody in the unit that would help somebody out with that, but I don't think they're going to come up with a program. And because of that, that's why I started my company. So,
Sweet.
what, so, so coming kind of back into this, what do you think was the hardest part about leaving the service and not having that guaranteed job lined up?
Probably, I mean, definitely the uncertainty of not knowing where you're going to land. Now, fortunately, I got hired with CTI probably a week before I went on terminal. And then I think I went away for Christmas. I came back and started working. I want to say it was like December 26th. But up until that week, it was not in stone. So I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do. I have a month to figure it out though, because paycheck stopped coming in January, you know. I didn't do anything with getting lined up for school, which is also kind of a process a lot of people don't realize. It's not a hard process, but you know, it takes time. It's the VA. So yeah, up until that week before I got, you know, went on terminal, I didn't have anything lined up, and that was pretty scary because, you know, I like food. You know, call me crazy.
So you mentioned having stuff lined up for school, getting your degree and stuff going. I know that I separated without a CCAF, and I kicked myself in the ass for it many times because I only had to do a math class to get it.
Oh,
And
really?
yeah, well, here's the thing: I didn't even know what a CCAF was until I was going through separation. So
Really?
I didn't have dude, call it 10 hours in the box every day. You kind of forget about anything else outside of life, that matters. So, I didn't know that I could have got a CCF. I didn't know that I couldn't get it after I left either. So, that was the mistake I made. So, with regards to education, what happened there? Did you not know how to set up the GI Bill, or did you not know, like, how to get started?
At the time, I just didn't want to go back to school yet. And looking back now, like, you know, you figure I got out in end of 2009, I could have had my degree and be established in a career now, but I waited, probably doing some public math here, like 8 years to go back to school. Really, I just didn't want to go to school when I got out. But what I didn't realize is you have to actually go, and they have to verify that you are actually eligible for VA education benefits. Then you have to wait for a certificate of eligibility to come in the mail so you can give to your school. So it's not as simple as going to the school. I mean, like, I'm going to use my GI Bill. Like, it takes a couple months. So if you wait until the very last minute and you're separating at the end of the year, week before semester, and you're like, I'm going to go to school, it's gonna be hard. I mean, you might end up having to wait even longer.
Yeah, we my wife just started college, and she realized the hard way that she had to pay out of pocket for about 2 semesters almost before the GI Bill paperwork
No
got done,
kidding.
because they're so backed up. So she was accumulating thousands of dollars in debt just going to school, waiting on the Veterans Association to, or whatever, veteran admin to reimburse her. So
Oh, they did reimburse it. That's good.
well they did eventually, but
Yeah.
that's after multiple phone calls, and Susie didn't dot the I's and cross the T's somewhere. So
Dang it, Susie.
how the VA is. Surprised they just didn't hang up on her. So I saw here a little bit on your profile here that you were accepted to graduate school for a master's degree in information technology and management.
Correct.
So, you went from separating with kind of nothing, not even wanting to go back to school for 8 years, and now you're accepted into a master's program. So how's that going?
It's going pretty good. So it's actually a pretty cool program. I'm a senior right now for my bachelor's. But what I can do is I can take master's courses now that contribute to both my bachelor's and my graduate degree through a
Nice.
program. It's called the Accelerated Degree Program. But really, it was just a change of mindset. Like, unless I wanted to continue working in the UAS industry, I had to do something. Otherwise, I'm just not going to be making money. I'm not going to really have any promotability. So I really needed to get out there and just make a move. Unfortunately, my wife is very supportive of that, so I was able to, you know, I work part time. I work at the university, so I have a lot of time to work on school stuff too. I know not everyone's in that situation, but I mean, it's hard work, and I feel like everybody can do it. You just have to have a plan to do it. You know what I mean? There's that
So,
word.
when is the estimated completion of that master's? Is that about 2 years from now?
Yeah, I got a year left in my undergrad, and I'll have a
Okay.
couple courses down for my master's. So probably about 2 years. And what I'm going to do is I'm probably going to go very slow on the master's so I can start working full time, because the master's is kind of like, it's just kind of icing on the cake. The bachelor's is the important one, which is going to get me hired at some local tech company. Like, we have the Research Triangle Park out in Durham and Raleigh, which is a huge, huge area that has a whole bunch of big tech companies like Cisco and IBM, just to name a couple, are out that way. Hoping to get in with one of those.
And do you think you're going to be ready to interview with them when the time comes?
That's I'm not 100% sure, but what I am going to do, and if anybody listening is going to school, and your school has a career services center, use the career services center because they're going to go over my resume again for me, make sure it's looking good. They're going to help me. That you can do like interview practice sessions, and you definitely want to take advantage of anything like that just to kind of remove the mystery of it. You know, it's been a while since I've had like a very formal job interview, so I don't want to go in and be nervous. If I've had a whole bunch of like practice interviews, I'm thinking that'll be a lot better for me.
So it's funny that you brought up the whole interview thing. So a lot of people that come through my company, they haven't even started school. So they don't have any kind of interview prep services or anything like that readily accessible. So that's one of the things that I decided to do. I realized, and this is more on the enlisted side, I think, more than the officer side, because I think they must have a good program out there for officers. But the enlisted guys that come through, they even the most confident good ones still have a lot of areas that they need to work on with their interviews, and there is that nervousness and anxiety that you mentioned. And so that's something that we try to knock out with a couple practice mock interviews form for the formal companies. So it's good that you brought that up. So your master's and your I think your bachelor's as well is in this information technology, information systems management. Why did you choose that career? What interested you there?
I mean, I'm this is gonna sound cheesy. I'm a big fan of computers. I enjoy working with them. I enjoy working on them. But ultimately, what led me to that career was that it's a usable degree. It's not, it's not something I'm gonna get a degree in. I'm not gonna mention any degrees. So I don't offend any of your listeners. But
Basket weaving. Just say basket
it's
weaving.
you're what?
Basket weaving.
Indeed, I'm not a master of baskets. I mean, basically, like. It's a usable degree. It's gonna have upward mobility, and that's what I wanted. I didn't want to get something that's gonna like, kind of box me in to a job where I'm not gonna be able to get ahead. I'm not gonna get promoted. I'm not using the skills I'm learning. So I kind of put a lot of thought into that, and that's why I went that route.
Yeah, so I wanted to ask you, because you were working at CTI and you were doing a sensor operator contracting job. Why, when did you leave, and what kind of spawned that?
I left in the dead of the night. Actually, it was about 5 a.m. Not in duty.
Did you set the bridge on fire as you walked out the door?
I did actually. No, there was no fire. I deny that statement. You guys will never get it. I got a lead on a job back on the East Coast, and I was like, yeah, it'd be cool to be closer to family and stuff. And this was more of like an analysis job for the same kind of industry. So I thought I would try that out, and I went and did that for 3 years, and that was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed that, and it was cool being closer to home too. I was like maybe 5 hours from home as opposed to like, 3 days worth of driving.
Did
So
you go? Did you go down to Fort Bragg? Is that where you went?
no, I went up to Northern Virginia.
Oh, okay. All right. And you liked doing the screener job, huh?
I did like it. It was
Interesting.
You kind of have a little, you kind of move around a little bit more, and you can kind of see more of the moving pieces that are taking place. I thought that was really interesting.
Was it weird not being able to control the camera that you used to control while you're watching the feed?
It was a little weird, and I had to stop myself a couple times and be like, you can't get on the headset and be like, hey, dude, focus up. You just can't do that, right?
Fix your picture, dude.
Can I get a raster search on aisle 5, man?
So, when you went to that full motion video analyst job, did you have to interview with them, or did you already know somebody there that kind of pushed you in the door?
I knew someone there, and then I had a really low-key phone interview, and it was more of like, "Hey, cool man, send us a resume. You have a clearance, right?" Like that was basically it. And I
That's
was like,
it.
"Oh yeah." They basically, I mean, it was a quick phone interview. It was actually 3 minutes long, maybe. Yeah,
Wow.
it was easy. I was expecting a lot more, but that was it. I was like, fine, okay.
Well, there you go, listeners. All you have to have is a security clearance and know somebody.
Indeed.
And you're good to go, I guess.
Yeah, it was. I don't expect that to ever happen again.
Good.
Was right at the beginning when they started plussing up really bad. So they needed meat for the seat.
Yeah, and it's that was a different time back then because there wasn't a lot of people involved in this niche in this community. Now there's like 100 sensors getting out with maybe 20 jobs to go to.
Hell yeah.
So
My dude, that.
yeah, it's really tough right now for sensors. It's very competitive.
Yep. It's a different
And
time.
yep, same with the imagery guys. So I see here that you went to you attended EMT school and you became a medic.
Yeah, just EMT basic. I never got a medic certification, but yeah.
Okay.
That's kind of what reforged the fires to go to school, actually, because I did really well in EMT school. And then I did really good in the class, and then I went and got my national registry and I did really well on that test. It's an adaptive test, so like if you're doing bad, they'll ask you more questions up to like 150 or something like that. Unless you're doing completely terrible, then it'll shut off at 70. But if you're doing really well, it'll still shut off at 70. Well, mine shut off at 70, and I was like, ah, okay, failed that. And then 3 days later, I was like, hey, cool, here's your registration number. Congratulations. I was like, oh, word. I really started thinking like, oh, maybe I can go to school. And turns out I can. Not to toot my own horn, I got a pretty good GPA right now,
Nice.
ladies.
When did that happen? When this whole EMT thing in between, was that after your full motion video job or?
Yeah, so what ended up happening was I left full motion video in 2012 because my wife and I, we wanted to move back to Greensboro. That's where she's from, and that's where my parents are and stuff. So I ended up, I was a safety coordinator in an electric company for about a year, right? But the construction was slowing down, so it was like, well, we don't really have a spot for you at the moment. It's getting really tight. And then I went and just like weird chance greeting, I ended up meeting somebody that worked at CarMax. I don't know if you ever bought a car from them before, but I ended up selling cars there. And dude, I don't like selling cars. I feel awkward as hell asking people for money. So that was not a good fit. I was fine just like BSing with customers. I wasn't trying to really sell them cars. So that's when I was like, oh, maybe I can go be an EMT. I saw an ad or something like that on the internet about the county we live in hiring EMTs. So I went and got that. And I worked on an ambulance for about a year and a half. And I was like, I'm going to go back to school. So I'm not like breaking my back for $12 an hour. It's basically what it boils down to.
Yeah, that
So,
makes sense. And so that's when you started your bachelor's program.
yep.
Oh, cool. So you've bounced around a lot, man. A lot of different jobs there. Cars, EMT, full motion video, all kinds of good stuff.
Yeah,
Um,
but I
so
was
so
like
so I gotta ask, why did you join the army?
thanks, man. Word? We did that. That's cool. I don't really know. Good question. So I was sitting on the couch one day. I was like, man, that'd be cool. It wasn't. A bad call. Do you remember when the government shut down in I guess it was the beginning of 2018 in January?
Yeah.
Do you know where I was when that happened?
No.
In a motor pool, sleeping in a tent. It was 18 degrees outside.
So, did you have to go through basic training again through the Army?
I did. It was a prior service basic training. So it was all
Wow.
people. It was only 6 week long. We got our cell phones every night. We got some face. It was goofy. It was weird. It's kind of annoying. Yeah. They were kind of weird. They like one day they'd be hard and they want to treat us like we'd never been in the military before. Then the next day it's like, oh, we get you guys a prior service. This is cool. And they bounce back and forth. And it was more frustrating than anything else.
It's a mind game.
Yeah, it was lame. Bad idea. Bad call.
Like,
Kids, don't do it.
be like, dude, I outrank you. Leave me alone. So did you like better?
Air Force all the way.
Air
Absolutely.
Force all the way. Just treat you
100%.
better.
Yeah, and better, more community too, I think. Like as far as I feel like in the Army, like zero accessibility to leadership, and maybe that was just my unit. I was also National Guard, by the way. I don't know if that's just my unit, but in the Air Force, I feel like if I had a question for the first cert that wasn't like serious where I need to like go to chain of command. If I just had a question for the first cert, I know the first cert. I'm like, hey, first cert, what's up? I have this question. In the Army, that's going to get you killed. If it was like a big issue, then of course, use your chain of command and all that. But honestly, it was just a lot. It's hard to explain. I think more community, I felt like. That makes sense for me.
I get you. I understand.
Yeah.
So, what was your job in the Army?
I thought it'd be cool to be a 13 Bravo, which is artillery. It's cannon crew.
Okay.
It was not. Enjoyable. Take a man.
Did you get to at least launch some artillery?
No, I never got around to it, man.
Oh, jeez.
Slept in the woods a couple times. Got really cold.
Didn't ever deploy with them either, huh?
Nope.
So, which branch has the better looking ladies?
Air Force.
Air Force? Yeah.
Ladies. No.
Well, you know, females, ladies.
I'm gonna get punched in the throat as soon as I go outside of this office, just so you know.
Oh yeah, sorry. Your wife's sitting there staring at you right now.
Stab me in the kidney.
This interview's over.
Kidding. Love you.
So let me ask you this. You decided to do artillery, but how come you didn't transition to an air crew job in the Army? I felt like that could have been a smooth in for you there.
Like I said, it was a whole string of bad ideas.
Okay.
Yeah, once the bad idea started, it just snowballed.
All right, I'm gonna ask you a little off the wall question here. What's the weirdest habit that you have?
The weirdest habit that
Weird, yeah. Where's the weirdest habit?
I hum. I hum a lot.
You hum?
Yeah, like I under my breath, I'm sitting here like humming a song. I don't even realize I'm doing it. I'm walking down the hall, and then I realize I'm fucking singing right now. Check myself. I'm like, have I been like humming this song the entire way I've been walking to this classroom? Like, have people been hearing me humming? It's weird. It just happens.
Is this like
Weird.
headphone? Like you got headphones on, you're listening to stuff, or you just walk around singing?
I just walk around singing, man. I'm a joyful guy, I guess. It's weird. That's probably my weird habit.
I'd say. Well, you know what? Nah, maybe not. Maybe not if you're in your house and stuff. But if you're just walking around a building singing, it's definitely unique.
It's weird. You can say it's weird.
I was like asking stuff like that, just weird shit to people.
See what people are doing when no one's paying
Yeah,
attention.
seeing if they're willing to disclose that kind of stuff without getting
Oh
too
yeah.
crazy.
Everyone knows I do it. I have a friend that I work with. He's like, "Hey man, what song are you singing? How about we just put it on instead of hearing you sing?"
You know who sang that song better was the guy that wrote it. So,
Yeah.
I know you've been out of our community for a while, but you're still kind of in it because you're probably still part of some groups or something like that on
Yeah.
Facebook or something. So, did you ever think it was going to get this big?
I didn't. And I guess like I've been out of it for so long now, I didn't realize how much it had grown.
Yeah, we're
You know?
talking thousands and thousands of people now.
Yeah, and I didn't know that, but I mean that's pretty cool. But I guess it makes sense though when we were looking at how they were plussing up back in like 2010. I mean, it only makes sense that they had more people, or they have some like really tired sensor operator somewhere keeping them in a closet. Exploitation, like I don't know.
They just bring you out, stick you in a seat, then when you're done, they shove you back in a cage.
Feed you through an IV, like
Yeah, a little hamster wheel.
no, it's pretty cool. It's interesting that you have 100 people getting out right now, and that the jobs in the private sector is drying up, though.
Well, it's not so much that it's drying up. In fact, it's the opposite. They're trying to surge kind of on the contracting side too. They're trying to plus up these caps because and so here's the biggest issue is the military can't keep their guys in, right?
Yeah.
Because one, they're burning them out, and two, there's the job across the hall where you get to wear a polo shirt and khakis and triple your money. And so they have this huge exodus that's taking place like every year, and it's forcing the caps to have this manning issue constantly. Well, in order to fix that, the military is outsourcing it to the contractors. But the reason why the military keeps leaving is because there's more contractor jobs. So it's like this black hole,
Yeah,
this
everybody
circle that's yeah, it's eating itself. So yeah, they're talking about making the like overseas caps from like 12 but bumping up like 30.
Oh, no
So,
kidding.
oh yeah, dude, it's just growing at a crazy rate. Now we're in different theaters all over the world. I'm not going to get into that, but
Fair play.
yeah, people are like flooding out of it. And so the military is trying to increase bonuses and things like that, but it's just, yeah, it's crazy community. It's Wild West right now, man.
That's crazy, man. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, so I mean, we you know what, we did touch on this a little bit earlier, but I kind of want to come back to it. So, we've joked a little bit, at least in the community, about these guys that got out and did these Netflix specials or did these TED Talks or went around and kind of talked about how shitty the job was on their mental state, and it kind of made a big scene about it. I wouldn't call them whistleblowers, but they definitely kind of made it look like a negative thing. And do you feel that when you left, you had these horrible issues that other people have talked about?
I don't think so. I'm trying to think. I don't know that I've seen too many TED Talks. I think I know where you're leading, but me personally, no. In fact, I think a lot of it has been exaggerated. Probably. I think it's fair to say that people were burnt out and exhausted, but I also think some people might be taking it a little far. But then again, I'm not in a position to say how they respond to certain things either.
Right.
So, my
I'm
personal
just
opinion, like I'm good, like you know.
I think that most of the community is too. So,
I need to go
or
write a book, I think.
you know what?
I think I need to go write a book.
Yeah, make sure you put everyone's names in it and social security numbers that helped you along the way.
Thanks, guys. This
I
one's
was
for
just
you.
curious, I was just curious because I've only seen it recently in the last few years. I will say though, you mentioned, don't want to judge anybody for how they've dealt with things in the past, but I think the one that gets the most heat is the comm guy who's in on that.
The con guy?
So just hear me out on this one. There's a guy who was the KU dude, right? The satellite guy. And he claimed PTSD because he enabled the command link, which caused all these horrible things in war.
What?
Yeah, I'm just gonna let see that silence right there. That's kind of the jaw dropping. Like, are you serious?
I think
So,
hopefully trying to get paid. All right, like. That's a bit ridiculous, right?
yeah. So
What do
that kind of, I mean, if they had gotten rid of that dude and it was just three of them that did this. And they're like, hey, we're all censors, and this, it kind of fucked us up, and we're really upset. I think that would have been okay. People will be on both sides of the fence. But when you bring in the KU comm dude, that's like, hey, man, I enabled that link. I'm a horrible person. I think that's where it just went off the rails.
like 1 degree of separation from a trigger puller, right? I enabled the link, man.
So anyway, I just, I was always curious how people in our community kind of perceived that stuff that was going on, because it kind of, they were definitely the first of our kind, if you will, to step out and say this is horrible and that kind of shit. So,
Yep.
but I personally don't have any really bad memories of it. I mean, I like you said, I got burned out and stuff, but now there's maybe a couple images in my head that are burned there forever, but it's not gonna definitely didn't impact the rest of my life.
So we can
So,
safely say that we will not be having a TED Talk from you.
no,
I'm a
that
little
would be
disappointed.
accurate.
For one, my part, I'm a little disappointed.
So, there's a little bit, there's some talks right now about making sensors pilots and kind of this enlisted aviator thing. I know that they're transitioning sensors with degrees into a pilot program called the 18X program. But they're also talking about making the GCS a single seat.
Huh. I
And
did.
there's a kind of, I wouldn't say a fight, but there's kind of this internal struggle of who's going to sit in that seat. Because you can make the argument that you could easily put a sensor in there if there's no weapons on board, or he can drop some missions and fly around and do ISR by himself.
Yeah.
Maybe having a pilot supervise, if there's an EP or something. But do you think that they're ever going to, do you think that the Air Force would ever make enlisted guys like warrant officers, or do you think they're going to ever honor that and make them pilots for real and pay them?
I don't think the Air Force ever would. I think that's a culture thing. I think there would be some massive push from like old school pilot guys. I think a lot of the pilots we worked with were pretty cool and would probably be okay with it, but the community as a large, I don't at large, I don't know. I don't think they'd be okay with that.
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't think Big Blue is willing to make
No.
that happen. But the Army, I think would be interested in that because they do have warrant officers and they do have enlisted kind of pilots. And the Army has the what MQ-1 Gray Eagle, so it was called MQ-1 Charlie Gray Eagle.
Yeah, that's something like that. I'm not 100% sure, to be honest.
But I could see them maybe going that way, and maybe that would kind of pave the way for the Air Force. But I think you're right on that.
Well, they're letting warrant officers fly helos.
Yeah,
I
exactly.
don't see the Air Force ever picking that up. And apparently, we used to have warrant officers. We got rid of them.
Yeah.
Look for that reason. They're like, no. Enlisted man,
Nah,
big.
not good enough. I guess we'll see in the next couple of years how that what ends up happening there. But quick question, how old are you?
34. I'll be 35 in July.
Ah, okay, never mind. I was going to say, if you got that bachelor's degree, you could always apply to be a pilot with your background.
I could do a lot of things, though.
But you're
But
too old.
yeah, I am too old. Thanks. Thanks.
Well, you know what? I have heard of waivers. So, you know.
Yeah, I don't know that I have any interest in flying, though, to be honest.
Yeah, I kind of figured.
Yeah, man, stick me in an office somewhere. I'll be happy. Pay me money.
And quick question here. I'm looking at your education accolades. What is this Chancellor's List and Bronze Leadership Challenge Awards and all this kind of stuff here?
So the Chancellor's List is awarded to people who maintain a GPA. I believe it's above 3.75. It's actually the highest accolade you can get in the school as far as GPA
I see.
goes. So I've been working my tail off trying to keep that going, trying to keep my GPA up. And if I keep my GPA where it's at now, I'll graduate with honors, which is not something I would have thought I was capable of years ago. I was really crappy in high school. Then, yeah, not even kidding. Like the Bronze Leadership Challenge is another program offered through the school. It's a year-long leadership seminar that will teach you, different leadership modalities, if you will, to help you be a more effective leader when you enter the workforce. And another one I did, this one was voluntary as well. It's the BB&T Emerging Leader Search Certification. It's a 2-day seminar hosted by BB&T, again, to help foster leaderships or help foster leadership skills from graduating juniors and seniors. Yeah, pretty interesting stuff. I think it's good just for, something to have on the resume. I've done two different leadership seminars while I was in school. So I'm in a management degree, so it makes sense. I try to do as much of that as I can.
And of all three of those, which one did you feel was the most difficult to attain?
I would say maintaining my spot on the Chancellor's List has been pretty difficult for me, just because I really had to kind of hone in on my studying and my work ethic in school, because and honestly, like, I'm not the best student. I try really hard to be, but I'm not. I get distracted easy. I procrastinate on homework, so I have to work really hard to make sure I'm performing as good as I can be. So keeping that up has been a struggle.
Now, if you go through the your if you finish your degree having been on that list like every semester, is there some sort of grand award, or is there some sort of honor that comes with that?
I think I can pat myself on the back when I'm done, but there's also like the cum laudes, like the summa. I don't know all of them. I think there's cum laude, summa cum laude, and magna cum laude. I don't know if they're in the right order. So you can graduate with honors, get a sweet stash when you graduate, or not a stash, a stash, a sash.
I mean, you could graduate with a sweet stash, I guess, but
I mean, yeah, why not, right? Win.
they're coming back. I don't know if you
Right.
noticed, but they're coming back.
But yeah, I mean, I think that's the big thing of it. Just kind of something I can do for myself. So I can be like, oh yeah, that was, I worked hard and I kept a title while I was in.
That's good. So, just to kind of wrap this up for all the young, hopefully young, hopefully they're not 40 and having problems writing a resume and stuff. But it does happen. Kind of to wrap this up, do you have any kind of last, kind of last piece of advice for censors or pilots that are thinking of getting out in the near future? And if you could give them some words of wisdom to help them out and not go through the struggles that you went through, what would you say to that?
I would say the like kind of recap a little bit. The biggest issue I had when I got out was I did not have a plan. And that's why it was so stressful when I was actually separating. So you really kind of need to have your ducks in a row. It's not like you can just leave the military and you may or you may not have a job when you get out, but that's where planning comes in. Start planning early, start thinking about what you want to do. If you want to go to school, just understand you there's a process for that and the VA is backed up. So start early. If you're going to work with one of these contracting companies, get a good resume, get help doing a resume. If you go to TAPS and that's good. But there's a lot, I mean, there's a lot of people that can help you with your resume and just take advantage of your peers. You know, have a plan.
All right, cool. Well, hey, Sean, I just want to thank you for coming on the show here and giving us your story and telling everybody what you went through and what it was like being a censor back in the old days, even before me.
The
And
olden.
yes, were you ever an RQ guy?
No, it was before
No.
my time.
Okay, not that old. All right.
That old man.
But thanks, man. I just want to say, it was awesome having you on the show, and hopefully in the future I can reach back out to you and see how that master's degree and management job's coming.
Sure, man. Hey, I
So,
appreciate you having me. It was fun.
yes, thanks, dude. All right, man. Well, I'm gonna go ahead and hang up this call, and you have a wonderful evening.
Yes, sir. You too.
Thanks, dude.
All right. Bye.
See ya.
Everybody. We hope you enjoyed the show this evening. And if you took anything away from what Sean said, hopefully you visit unmannedhiringservices.com and let us go through your resume and interview prep and get you ready to transition to the civilian world. Because we don't want you to go through, some of the struggles that he went through, and we just really want you guys to be prepared when you get to the next step in your career and your life. So, please like and share this, and thanks for listening. Have a good night. It's Chris Kelso signing off. Cheers.